They are not of the world, as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. I sanctify myself for them, so they also may be sanctified by the truth. Jesus prayed that we might be unified in his truth, standing firm in the faith and strong in his word. In a world questioning the credibility of God's word, Christ's prayer is for his church to stand firm in unity and his word. This is The Answers Conversation, and I'm your host, Steve Hamm. We'll be answering the skeptical questions of our time, standing firm on the authority of God's word, and rejoicing in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Following on from last week, talking about sin, we still have David Chakranarayan with us, and we are now talking about another doctrine, and that is the character of God. And we see all through Scripture, you can't read almost a verse of Scripture without thinking about God's character in some sense. And as we understand God's character, we recognize, and if you look through most systematic theologies, they will talk about the communicable and incommunicable attributes of God, those things that are communicated to humanity in being created in his image that we share with him, and those things that really we only see because in God, because he alone is God. So I just want to talk through those things, and I just sort of gave a little definition of that, David, but is there anything more that you wanted to say about what incommunicable and communicable attributes really are?
Absolutely, Steve. Hey, let me say before we talk about this, let me say that it is absolutely impossible to speak about the attributes of God in such a limited amount of time. What is interesting, the scope and magnitude of who God is simply overwhelming.
Yes.
And he's just, from our finite beings, to understand an infinite God is impossible. But we can understand who God is, what he requires, what he is like through the light of his word.
That is a really important point, because there are people out there, you know, you really can't understand God, and you have to find him in yourself. You have to find him somewhere else and see if you can, you know, work out if this is God or not. But he has clearly revealed himself.
Yeah, absolutely, Stephen. Matter of fact, for those people that say, well, we can't know it all, sometimes I struggle with the things that I do know about him. And trying to implement them in my life and trying to live a spirit-filled life. Mm. So God has given us enough about himself so that we can be obedient to him. You were asking earlier the definitions of them. The incommunicable attributes of God are those that belong strictly to God alone for who he is. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us that God is holy. He is without sin. He's immutable. He does not change. He is infinite. He's omnipotent, he is omnipresent, he's omniscient, he's self-existent, he is self-sufficient, he's sovereign, he is spirit, he is transcendent, and he is unique. None of us can claim those things about ourselves, but we know through the light of Scripture that God is all of those things, and he is those things in their perfection.
And and when you think about him being God, if we actually even understood much of those things, we would be God, but how can we understand? How can you understand as a human self-existence?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we can't understand it apart from the light of his word.
Right.
We can't. Mm. You know, as Paul told Timothy, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Mm. And so this is God breathed, the Holy Spirit, you know, inspired the prophets to write, you know, God's word, communicate God's word. And so we can know God and understand who he is in the light of his word.
Yeah. Okay. So I think you've just mentioned some of those incommunicable attributes. Is there any of those that you really wanted to expand upon?
Sure. There's a couple of them that I think need to hit home, especially as we relate it to the book of Genesis. Mm. I think the first one is God's holiness. Again, it's one of those attributes that we just don't have enough time to think about and ponder. But this is simply a reference to God's perfection and the fact that he is flawless in his nature. Basically, he is without sin. Imagine that concept.
Okay, and where do we see that in Genesis?
Absolutely. We see it in his perfect creation. God is perfect. God is apart from sin. So, matter of fact, for those people out there that believe that there is death and sin prior to Genesis chapter 3, it is actually impossible to attribute God as being holy and without sin, because then he becomes the author of sin and death.
That's a huge point.
Absolutely.
And we make it all the time in Answers in Genesis, but let's just really emphasize this, that when God says very good, we either are changing his definition of what very good means, or we are changing the definition of his holy character.
Yeah, and I definitely don't want to be someone that wants to change God's character.
Yeah, or his words.
Absolutely, yeah. He has given it to us. He has told us what he has done, and he said that everything that he has created is very good. Matter of fact, again, Paul, he writes in the book of Romans chapter 5, that sin and death come into the world through man's disobedience, and he clearly points to Adam and the event that occurred in Genesis chapter 3. So again, if we have sin and death prior to Genesis chapter 3, even prior to God's creation, we are attributing sin and death to the character of God. Therefore, it damages his holiness.
So what else is there?
Let's talk about his immutability and the fact that God's nature does not change in any way. Matter of fact, the couple of verses that I think would help illustrate this is Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. God says, I, the Lord, do not change. I think another great verse is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, where it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. You had mentioned the fact that Colossians, the book of Hebrews, the opening chapters tell us that the Creator is Jesus Christ himself. So what a picture that we get of not only the Creator, but we also find out that he is Redeemer and Savior. And for those who believe that God had to recreate everything in Genesis to make it right again would actually contradict God's immutable character, because he has to change everything again because he didn't get it right the first time.
You know, you can read in Job how God ordains and upholds all the laws of the universe.
Amen.
And those laws are something that we see that are constant. You know, the laws of logic and the laws of mathematics, the laws of physics, the laws of chemistry, all of those laws, they're constant laws. They only make sense if there is a God who is a creator, who is an immutable God, because those laws he has set in place as uniform laws.
Correct.
And those laws don't make sense in a random chance environment.
Absolutely. Steve, absolutes have to go back to an absolute source.
Right.
And the only absolute source that we have is God, because if everything comes about as a process of evolution, then morals, absolutes, continue to change. Matter of fact, they can't even be called absolutes.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. Okay. And give me one more.
Steve, I think another incommunicable character of God that I think we can look at again is God's omniscience, the fact that God has perfect and complete knowledge. You know, it's interesting that people always throw this question around. I'm sure it's a philosophical matter, but people always ask the question, did God know that man would sin? Well, if I understand that God is omniscient, that he is perfect and in complete knowledge, then we'd have to say absolutely. Matter of fact, one of the theories that's out there is the concept of open theism that says God may or may not know the future in its completeness. Sometimes God ends up reacting to things. And to me, for someone to believe in that would contradict that attribute of God, the fact that he is omniscient. So we need to understand that. I mean, another great thing to think about is that even with the knowledge that man would sin, God had a plan of redemption. 1 Peter 1:20 talks about Lord Jesus Christ. He says, he indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you.
That is an incredible verse.
It is. It is powerful.
Yeah.
It is powerful. Revelation 13, verse 8, the second part says, the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world?
That's just incredible.
There is no way for me to come to the conclusion that God did not know that sin would come into the world. But even with that knowledge, God had a plan of redemption to draw to himself a people who would be his very own.
Yeah, and we should just see these verses. We can't always, I know that there's a lot of arguments about how this happens, the intricacies of these verses, but and we're not going to get into it in this program, but they should just have us on our knees, just in awe of that omniscience in God's character, just in awe of our God who just knows all, is all-powerful and sovereign over all, and never changes and is holy and good.
Correct. And if God is someone that does not change, I can trust him for everything.
Yeah.
And I can trust him especially in his word.
Yeah. We see all of these things and we see them depicted in the creation. So we see the very character of God, these incredible doctrines of God's character, of God's attributes that run all the way through Scripture. We see them in the very created order. And then we talk about God's communicable attributes, those things that are also given to mankind. What would those sorts of things be?
Steve, the communicable attributes of God are simply those that we also can possess, but here's the key words, in a limited sense.
Mm-hmm.
We think about some of these attributes as goodness, hate, justice, knowledge, love, rationality, mercy, speech, truthfulness, and wisdom. In such a limited sense, I almost think about it being God's grace to us and the fact that we can even understand this small part of it because he has made it known to us. Matter of fact, in the very first two chapters of Genesis, we see that man is created in the perfect image of God.
Mm.
This is not said about any other creatures that God has created, but specifically only about humanity. And that God has endowed to human beings these communicable attributes of himself is a pretty powerful thing.
Okay. So there would be an impact on that if we said that we've, you know, not been created in the image of God, but evolved from the image of an ape-like creature.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, theistic evolution, one of the things that it stresses is the fact that they can't really say that Genesis is a historical account. Many say that it's a mythological tale. The problem that we have with this is that if you say that Adam is a mythological figure, then not only is there a problem with Adam, but that ultimately there is a problem with Christ, because Adam and Christ are linked together in genealogy and historically.
Mm.
Think about this too, Steve. To mythologize Adam is to mythologize Christ and ultimately mythologize the saving power of the gospel. So Jesus Christ, the descendant of Adam, makes clear in Matthew and Luke's chronology that he was a historical figure that was created in the image of God.
With those communicable attributes, and we see them in the greatest sense in Jesus Christ.
Absolutely, we do. Steve, as I mentioned earlier, those communicable attributes that we have now are imperfect because we possess a sin nature.
Yes.
We are fallen beings. Three of them that I want to stress and look at. Let's look at the concept of God's communicable attributes that we also possess, the issue of goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Human beings, they can be good to one another, but it's purely a subjective standard because unless we understand it in the light of God's word and the revelation of Jesus Christ, that's pretty important. Matter of fact, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God." That is true and perfect goodness when we have been saved by the transforming power of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
A second aspect is truthfulness. We can be truthful, but our ability to be consistently truthful is damaged, again, because of our sin nature.
Yeah.
Who is the ultimate source of truth? Of course, it is God, but it is revealed in the person of Christ.
Jesus Christ, I am the way, the truth, and the life.
John 14:6, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
How can I come to a full knowledge of truth? It is by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, and one last one.
One last one is wisdom. Everybody likes to claim that they have wisdom. But just like any other attribute we human beings possess, our ability to attain wisdom can only be found in the light of Scripture and the illuminating power of the gospel. I think it's interesting in Colossians chapter 1, Paul is commending these believers for their sincerity, for their love for Christ, and the fact that they show it. And he prays for them, and look at what he prays for them. He says, "For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding."
Mm.
How can we even possess the communicable attributes of God with the fallen nature? We can possess it when we have been regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit and Christ lives in us, the perfect God himself.
Wow. It is wonderful as we go through that and we see what a joy it is to be a human being,
yes,
to be God's special creation, created in his image. We see that in Genesis with his communicable attributes. We see his incommunicable attributes in his power as creator. all in Genesis, we see what we have done even to those communicable attributes by sinning, and we see that in Genesis, giving us the historical foundation to understand the limited nature of those communicable attributes, particularly as a result of marred by sin.
Yes.
And we see that all the way through Scripture. It's such an important book for theology and for understanding those communicable and incommunicable attributes of God. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, thank you, Steve.
If you want answers on this or any other subject, visit answersingenesis.org. That's answersingenesis.org.